Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, wherever you are in the world. This is Brunch Boston. I'm your host, Matt, and I'm here with a very, very special guest, one of the best fighters in all of boxing, one of the youngest champions of all of boxing, WBO welterweight champion himself, the assassin, Brian Norman Jr. What's going on, Brian?
Man, that's the best introduction I done ever heard, man. But I got to correct you on one thing. You said one of the youngest champions in boxing. I am the youngest champion in boxing. I just want
to... You know what? You know what's funny about that? I knew you were the youngest champion last year, but I wasn't sure if anybody won a title since that's younger, so I ain't want to ask you to be like, oh, you know, he's not really the youngest champion no more. You know how people get on the internet.
Forget them folks.
No doubt. But I got to say, man, you are coming off a spectacular knockout victory over Derrien Cuevas, third round knockout. I'll be honest, he looked like he wanted to cry when you hit him. He turned his back. He had this weird look on his face. I don't know what the hell happened, man. Just tell me the game plan going into that fight, and how would you assess your performance?
The game plan going into that fight was to establish yourself, establish your jab, establish your rhythm, establish your feet. And just go out there and be yourself and have fun. Because when you are your authentic self, you know what I'm saying? Only God knows what you can do. But regarding my performance, the first round, I did the exact opposite of what I was supposed to do, which was move. So I was just sitting right there in front of him. I mean, I still did my thing, but of course, I'm my biggest critic. But I think I did my thing. I knocked him out with a jab. I just wanna point that out. I knocked this man out with a jab, sitting him flying across the ring. So everybody questions about my left hand, is it okay? How's it doing? I just knocked this man out with a jab with the hand I just had surgery on. So we good. We squared away.
You know, that was actually my next question, because obviously you had the hand injury, you had to have surgery on it. Like, how are you feeling health wise?
I am feeling wonderful. Like, boom, I was just in the gym, like, right before we hopped on here. So, hitting the bag, punching, hitting the pads, everything. No, we cool. And we still on go. We still in the money.
That is great to hear. So how soon can we expect to see Brian Norman Jr. back in the ring?
Sure, definitely this summertime. Hopefully June or July, we back in that thing, getting active.
Now, obviously, you're still young in your career. Like I said, youngest champion in boxing. So you do want to stay busy. Like, I've always wondered, like, what's the right amount of fights for you? Like, what's the right amount of activity?
I say, regarding that depends on the person. You know, that goes from person to person and where they are in their career. But with me being young and loving to fight anyway, and, like, it's a lifestyle for me. So, like, shoot, that fight wasn't nothing but a sparring session to me. So I was right back in the gym that Monday, sparring some guys at the gym. I think I did like 20 rounds with the little kids in the gym, you know, just messing around. But
that's damn, that's what's up, man.
Yeah, it wasn't nothing but a sparring session. It was three rounds, man. But I think that depends on the person. Man. Yeah, they're like, let's say in the fight, I didn't take no damage at all. So, you know, I can fight again the very next week if need be. So, it's a whole lot of stuff that played a part into it.
This was your first title defense as WBO welterweight champion. You really won the belt with a spectacular knockout against Giovanni Santillan last year. A lot of people doubted you, man. You were a -700 underdog plus 380. I did win money on you, so I thank you for that. I knew you were going to win, so I put my money on you. But people were doubting you going into that fight, man. Like, how did you feel going into that fight, and what was it like to get your hand raised at the end?
The feeling going into that fight was forget everybody. Like, y'all boys don't know me, but let me reintroduce myself. I know what I had done in the past. It was a little iffy. Even I didn't like it myself. I ain't gonna lie to you. But we live and we learn. I was a little young buck, you know what I'm saying? But snapped back on, got on my little P's and Q's. And I was just like, boom, let me go and take dude's head off real quick. One time for the one time. Let me go to his hood, snatch his chain, and bring it back to the A real quick. And then get my hand raised. It was a quick you know what I'm saying, happy feeling. But then it was just like, okay, snap back in reality. We got some more work to do. You're 23 years old. This just you winning the championship. And now we got to take this thing up through the roof. Everything you've been doing in the past, use all your knowledge, all your growth and experience, and apply yourself. And then, as you've seen, I came back 10 months later and got a third round knockout. So the time off, it was actually a blessing, not a curse. I actually needed that. Y'all just gave me more time to get better.
Is there? Do you feel like a difference in being a champion now? Like yo, because I know they say like, oh, when you win a championship, you become like 10% better than what you were before. Like, do you feel a difference in your performance, your preparation since you've become champion?
Most definitely. I found a recipe. I found a blueprint on how to do it. So like, that was my biggest thing coming up. I was always scared. Like, what if I ain't doing the right thing? Like, what if, okay, I ain't doing enough? Then the whole time I found out, boy, you're doing too much. Like, it's just a whole lot of questions. Like, okay, am I doing this right? Am I doing that right? Forget the fact that I'm beating people up. It's just, am I doing the right thing to be that? And now I finally got the recipe, so now I'm just finna expand on it, improve on it. And that was just my first championship training camp. And now I'm just finna apply even more going into the next fight.
No, that's inside the ring. Outside the ring, I saw you at Atlanta Hawks game. I saw you at the crib. So like what's been the reception to you like publicly since you've become champion?
That right there is a whole journey and story of itself. I came up the hard way until my boom. Even still right now, some people still don't know about me. It been like that my whole life. You know what I'm saying? I gotta work a million times harder just to get the same results as others. But I love it. It's a whole lot of character building. It's a whole lot of, it's the reason why I became a champion. It's the reason why I fought adversity in somebody else's hometown when I was only 23 years old. So I embrace all of it. But now, let's take it back to today's time. I'm getting all the love. Like you said, I'm at the Hawks game doing my thing. I was at a big radio show called Greg Street out here. Just a lot of people just showing me love. And that's just after the first fight. I'm about to go even crazy for another one. And then finna keep on stacking and keep on building. I got the whole city on my back.
Yeah, that is dope. That is dope. When can your city expect another hometown fight? It's been since 2021 since you fought at the crib. When can they see Brian Norman back at the crib?
Man, I know just as much as you. Man, I wish they'd be top ranked. Try to make something happen. Make something shake. But the city definitely need a hometown fight. This is, you know what I'm saying, this is a money city. That's how I look at it. Atlanta is a money city, and I'm their champion. So if money is the issue, you best believe we got that took care of. We ain't tripping on that. So we need that as soon as possible.
No doubt. I agree, because I think Atlanta would definitely embrace a big fight. We saw a tank fight at State Farms against Mario Barrios. So We know that people could draw in Atlanta. And you a hometown fighter. You a champion. So,
and I'm breaking that action.
What the problem is. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, listen, you put on the co-feature for Michaela May and Sandy Ryan. Great fight. Big fight. Love it. But when are you going to like main event your own big card as a champion?
And it better be next, I can tell you that right now. Because, hey, the people try to hit his little country dude and what he got to say. You know what I'm saying? He breaking the action in the ring and outside of the ring. So what more can you expect? Like, what more do you need? I got all of it. So I just gotta keep on growing. My next fight, come on, bless me with that main event. Let's make some shape.
You know what's funny about you saying that? Like, we know you bring the action inside the ring, but outside the ring, you've been really quiet. You don't really be on social media too much, but it seems like you kind of tapped into, like, your personality, at least, like, publicly. Like, where did that change come about for you?
So, I'm gonna be real with you. My girl, she did it. She put a whole lot of confidence in me. It was, when they didn't know how to say, a woman put speak life into their man or whatever.
Hey, what
Method
Man say? Nothing make a man feel better than a woman.
Hey, for real. So, like, now she spoke life into me. And, like, of course, I already knew I was that dude, but she was like, boy, you got these folks talking, they talk, but you need to talk yours. That same video. I mean, that same day, I had dropped a video on Instagram, just called, you know, my little hit list video. I was like, nah, she right. I need to speak up a little bit more. I need to do this and do that. You know what I'm saying? Pop been telling me the same. So, like, boom. I know I'm that dude. Yeah, go on and talk your talk. So, that's what Real did inspire me to get right with it.
Now, you mentioned the hit list video. Just tell the people, remind the people, who is on Brian Norman Jr.'s hit list?
For that one, that video, it was Jerron Ennis and Tio.
But Tio didn't want to fight you last year. Listen. Yeah, I'm a decent reporter. I be hearing some things. I heard that Tio was offered to fight you, and he said straight up he did not want to fight you. So, and you might have to scratch Tio off that hit list, man. Yeah.
Nah, we cool on that. We cool. We ain't gonna trip on that. No matter what, it's the Norman Show. Welcome to the Norman Experience. Whoever I step in the ring with, you best believe you're gonna be entertained.
Now, you did mention Jerron Boutsenis, so I do want to rewind back to last year. We all saw the much talked about failed negotiations between you and Boots and Matchroom, whatever. From your perspective, like, why didn't that fight get over the finish line?
Straight up bad business from Eddie Hearn. That's how I look at it. I feel like Boots, you know what I'm saying, he ready to throw down with me, but Eddie Hearn, he a bad businessman. And I don't like the way he operate.
Okay. Now you also, I saw in your post-fight interview, you were saying that you kind of felt like he tried to, like, put your back against the wall. Can you just, like, explain to the people what you meant by that?
So he tried to throw me a little chump change. So, like, the initial offer he gave me was $750,000, right? But for the other two champions, it was minimum 1.5. Like, that was just off rip. So, like, hold up. Yeah, I already think I'm a little pimp squeeze. Like, you gave me half of what they minimum is off rip. So, like, you already trying to say, nah, he ain't nobody. He don't deserve this. He don't deserve that. So, I'm like, okay, cool. Let me go and show you something real quick. Let me go ahead, get a little third round knockout with a jab real quick. Let me go and come back and show you something else. Come back to the table real quick. And I'm going to ask again, Mr. Eddie Hearn, where my money at, man? Where's the money? I need
it. Now, you said you're willing to go back to the table. You got Jerron Boots Ennis and Amanda Stanionis. They're fighting on Saturday in a unification bout. So, first of all, do you have any preference of opponent?
The man that win?
Okay. All right.
I want to fight the best at the end of the day. The only reason I joined this box again is to be the best. And I want to be my best version, and I need the best opponent opposite of me to do that. So whoever win that fight, they the best. And I'm going to show you I'm better than you.
Now, I need you to put on your boxing brain real quick. Like, break down that fight for the people. Like, how do you see that fight going?
A lot of people be asking me that, but I'm going to be real with you. I can't even say, simply because I don't watch enough film on both of them to say. Like, I haven't watched the full Stanionis fight. And I watch clips of Boots, so I can't necessarily say like that.
Wait. Hold on. Since when did you need film on Boots? I heard that you used to get in some work with Boots, man.
Most definitely.
Okay.
And that's why I don't really care about no film. Also with the film, if I ain't fighting you right now, what I'm watching you for? Now, Pops, on the other hand, he's scoping the whole scene. That's what he's doing. He watching everybody. He's studying everybody. He training for future fights right now. So no matter what, we're gonna be ready for any situation.
Okay. Now there's another champion at 147, Mario Barrios. Has there been any talk about maybe you fighting Mario Barrios sometime in the summer? Like what's going on with his situation, if you know anything about that?
I don't know what he got going on. The only talking I know is what the street's saying. In the street saying, we need to fight each other. You got a strap, I got a strap. You got a unification fight finna happen, I believe, this weekend. Let's go and get this thing thumping. What's up with it?
So just so the people are clear, Brian Norman Jr. is willing to fight any of these champions.
Yes. I'm a champion for a reason. I got to prove I'm the best champion. You got to be uncommon amongst the uncommon.
You know, it's funny that you bring that up because, you know, on my show the other day, you know, I was trying to give like a little breakdown of the 147-pound division. And I was just wondering out loud, like, who anointed Jerron Ennis the guy at 147? I'm not saying that he's not the guy, but we don't really know because you guys haven't all, like, fought each other. Like, where do you feel like your place is at in the 147-pound division?
I'll say definitely number one, and this is how I feel about that. Barrios. Matter of fact, I'll give Barrios some credit. I'm going to put him at number one resume-wise. This is why I say that. He beat Ugas. And Ugas was proven, so therefore I let him have that. He go to resume-wise, but I'll stop him anyway. But I let him have the spot just for now because we didn't fight yet. So, Mario Barrios, he got Ugas. Besides that, what is he known for? Getting stopped by Tank. Let's be real. Stanionis, great fighter. He do his thing. Who he had done beat up? Who we know? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, his best win is probably Butaev, which is a good win. Butaev was a good fighter.
Butaev
was a good fighter, but that's
probably
his best fight. Some Russian dude.
Like I said, I ain't watched dude a lot, so I don't know about his fight, so I can't say nothing. He's still a great fighter. The boy sharp. But your resume, I don't know about all that. Boots, who he don't fought? Okay, let's give his last fight, Karen. People try to make Karen such a big idea, a big name. Why is Karen a big name again? Oh, because he made Boots look bad.
Ain't it
why he a name?
Yeah, that's it.
What else Karen did, Nathan? He came back and he was slipping on his Pippen, almost got knocked down, this, down the third. Is Karen known as a hard puncher? I don't think so. Okay, now let's take it on back. Roman Villa, what's his claim to fame? Oh, beating little weak old Rashida Ellis. Or whatever, okay. And he barely edged that out. And then didn't Villa get knocked out in the third round by somebody that's not even a power puncher? But we're gonna let that ride.
Ricardo Salas. Yeah.
But we're gonna let that ride. Okay, let's go before that. Sergey Livinets. Okay. That's a good one. Wait a minute. No, it ain't. Ain't he a 140-pounder that got beat up by Mikey Garcia? Who Sergey beat? We don't even know. Okay, we're going to scratch that. Okay, let's go back to my resume. So, now, of course, me, only got on my books, I'm going to say, one crazy win. And that's Giovanni Santillan. He proved himself versus Alexis Roach. A lot of people was giving him props and everything. And he just straight up dog walked and broke his nose and just straight, you know what I'm saying, just stunted him out pretty much. And then what happened when he came up against that 23-year-old kid from the South? What I done did to him, the same exact thing, but even worse. Broke his nose, took his chain, and took that thing back to the A. So I feel like I'm more proven than all the other ones. Like I said, Barrios, I'm going to give him his credit. He beat Ugas, who was proven at the game as well. So, boom, we're going to let him have that.
And you got also some guys coming up in the division, like Ryan Garcia, Rolly Romero, that said T.O. might come to the division later in the year. Like, are you looking at these guys like, yo, I'm going to have to see this guy sometime soon?
They're going to have to see me. At the end of the day, this is the Norman Show. This is what I got going on. I don't care about y'all. I'm the whole champion out here. Y'all coming up here to see me. I'm the man. You feel me? This my whole division right here. So I ain't worried about them. They need to worry about me. I'm out here doing my thing, working on what I got working on, and getting my bread up.
No doubt. Now I want to talk about I want to go back to your last fight because to me I at least before the fight I said you know Derrick Cuevas might be a tricky opponent. Like what were your thoughts of him going into the fight? And obviously it turned out to be a sparring session, like you said. But what were your thoughts of him going into the fight?
I knew he was strong, like you know, knockout things of that nature. But and then also add the awkwardness to it as well. I done knew all of that, but no matter what, he ain't got enough for me. I knew that for a fact. No matter who I'm in the ring with, they ain't got enough. They not crazy enough. They don't work hard enough. They haven't been through enough. Like, that's another reason why I got the confidence I got now. Do you realize I won a championship belt in somebody else's hood with one hand? My left hand was toe up in that fight as well. I just thugged it out and made it happen. Do you realize that? Hold up. And I just fought, what is it, like 2 or 3 months right before that, and I got dropped. I had got caught with an elbow. My eye was cut. Everybody going against me. Do you realize how much I done been through? Not only just that. Let's go with training. I can't even train how I want to train because I got one hand. I can't spar how I want to spar because I got one hand. And then this was, let's say, 5 or 6 years. This 5 or 6 years on my head of, I don't even know if I can fight again. I had to go through three surgeries, three of them. One of my favorite basketball players is Derrick Rose. He could have been the best thing ever, but guess what happened? Injuries. That's what I'm thinking about with myself. So now I have, in my mind, my dream is slowly getting taken away from me. They don't know how that feels. And then I finally get my hand back. I'm finally able to red deal crack again. I'm finally able to train how I want to train, do what I need to do. And actually, you know what I'm saying, get back comfortable being yourself. And like, I can actually go to war again. Before, I was actually scared to go to war because I know for a fact I got the weak link, which is my hand. So I got everything back. Oh, y'all took too long. Y'all let me get comfortable in front of these cameras, in front of all these people. Y'all let me get my hand back. Y'all sent me here, sent me there, supposed to lose, and I still defeated the odds. Quentin Randall was supposed to beat me up. He was supposed to knock me out. He was an Olympic captain. He was this and he was that. Beat him with one hand, just like everybody else. I done did all these things at a very young age. You tell me one other fighter out here going through so much pain, going through all of this and character building. These boys can't see me. They haven't been through what I've been through. They not down to push themselves as much as I push myself. I believe that and I live that every single day.
Now, let me ask you a question. Is it safe to say that the boxing public hasn't even seen the best of Brian Norman Jr. yet?
Still haven't. They still haven't. I'm 24. What's your prime years? 27, 28? And I just knocked somebody out with a jab. What do you think I'm going to be doing back at that time? Well, I'm going to blink and you're going to fall. But this is a whole different power over here. I got the biggest equalizer of all time. And I ain't talking about my power. I'm talking about my mindset. My mindset is just straight up different. Now, you tell me which other fighter is out here crazy enough like me.
No, I definitely understand where you're coming from. Can you just talk about where that mindset comes from? Because you turned pro at 17, right? If I'm not mistaken. You turned pro at 17. Fighting in Mexico. You know, you were struggling to find a promoter to sign you, and you worked your way up, like killing people in the gym. You finally get signed by Top Rank. Now here you are. Just tell the people about your rise to where you're at right now.
It was a whole lot. It was a blessing though. Cameron Duncan, he came in, helped me out. And I was 17 years old. As soon as I turned 17, I turned pro. I was fighting out there in Mexico doing my little thing. Shoot, I hurt my right hand out there too. I ain't gonna lie to you. But when I turned pro, I already didn't have a left hand. I hit somebody in their hip bone. So I think it's posted on YouTube. I believe it is. His name is Kyrie Lucas. And if you watch the fight, I was just going right hand crazy. I was just dumping them on him. But the whole bunch of character building is literally everything you were just saying, all the business struggles, physical struggles, mental struggles. And then that's just boxing wise. Who knows what I was going through in real life? So I'd have been through it all. That's where I get this character. That's where I get this mindset from. And that's why I don't care about what these folks got going on. Something what they don't realize is they just got here before me. They not better than me. That's all it is. They just had the opportunity before me. But guess what? Y'all let the wrong one into the door. Just believe that.
I'm hoping that you get a chance to show that on the biggest of stages. So, let's go back to your amateur career. You were an amateur for a while, not for that long, obviously. But why didn't you try to maybe go to the Olympics? Like, why did you turn pro so early?
Actually, I did have a stellar amateur career. I believe I was amateur for about 8-9 years. I started at 7, but you know, first fight at 8, and turned pro at 17. So I think I had a lengthy amateur career. But the reason why I didn't go the Olympic route was they started changing up the rules in boxing. Like, literally, every time I'm able, like, turning open, being able to fight grown men and things of that nature, every time I'm of age, they'll switch the rules up. And it was just like, they just kept doing it, I think, like, 2 or 3 years back to back. And it was just like, dang, what's up, man? Can I fight? And then I was like this little middle ground, so I couldn't even do national tournaments, and I couldn't do... It was like I couldn't do open tournaments, but I couldn't do regular tournaments because I'm in the middle ground to where I'm too old and too young for things. It was just like, what am I doing right now? I don't want to go back to club shows because that's just nothing but people in my city, which I spar all the time. I want to show I'm the best in the whole world if I'm able. But Actually, I'm glad I didn't go because if I'm not mistaken, I think the 2020 Olympics was either for boxing was either not the way or postponed. It was something going on.
It got moved to 2021.
Yeah. So exactly, I'm actually glad I didn't do it because that would have pushed me back even more. So it was a dream of mine as a little kid. But I mean, I'm a world champion, so that's the biggest dream of all time.
Exactly. Now, who were some of the best fighters that you came across in the amateurs?
Shoot, to be real with you, I can't say I was a little savage, man. Like that's why I say I know for a fact y'all ain't seen the best of me. Like it was this dude. He had he was one of them. He had the camera crew out for him. He had this. He had that. And this was before it was how big it is now. Everybody got a camera crew with him now. All you need is a little bit of money, you all right. But back then, it wasn't as big. So he had a whole camera crew out for him, the news station, this, that, and the third. I beat that boy so bad, he asked me to move up a weight class.
Hey, listen, can we talk about your days in the gym, man? Because listen, I became aware of you before you got signed to Top Rank because I heard so many gym stories about you, sparring stories. I used to joke and say that you're like the Sugar Ray Robinson of sparring. I swear to God,
the mythic legend.
So I heard that you were sparring Terrence Crawford, all these guys. Can you just talk about like without going into detail because I don't want people to try to clip this and make you go viral for the wrong reasons. But just go into like your gym stories with like guys like Bud Crawford.
Sure, you got Bud, Jerron, Tank, Charles Conwell, those some names I can think of off top, but all those sparring sessions, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful sparring sessions. And I learned a lot from each and every last one of them. I learned different things from each and last one of them. So they were all needed, and I loved every last piece of it. I still dream about those sparring sessions and still learn from them still to this day. I still apply those same rules still to this day. But every last one of those sparring sessions was one for the books. It's the reason why it's such a big thing because it was like these boys be going at it. And like I was at a young age, and it was like, hold up, this little young guy going head to head with you. Like it looked like he belonged. Like it was just a crazy vibe in the gym.
Well, obviously, you've always had a strong belief in you, but was it those sparring sessions where you said, yo, I could really make something of myself? I'm keeping up with Terrence Crawford. I'm keeping up with Tank. I'm keeping up. Well, you and Boots are kind of like the same age-ish, like same era. But guys like Terrence Crawford and Tank like that?
Yes, it was definitely a big confidence boost. Of course, going into it, I ain't even going to lie to you. Your boy was nervous. You know what I'm saying? Tank, he knocking up. Tank catching bodies. Tank, he doing this, he doing that. Oh, hold up. Forget Tank, boy. You going with the big dog Crawford. That boy Crawford, different. Well, this what he knocking out everybody. So it was definitely a little nervous going into it, but I feel like what controls your body, you or your mind? So no matter what, I'm still me at the end of the day. So I'm hopping up in that thing. I ain't never been no punk. So we got into it, and then I realized, like, midway with both of them, like, okay, hold up. I belong here. I really did belong here. I'm with, them guys. They say the faces of boxing or whatever. Like, I'm with these guys going back and forth, whatever. This is a great sponsor. This is actual competition. And I believe I was like 20 years old. I think I was like 20 years old at the time.
Who would you say gave you the best work if you had to rank them between like Bud and Tank and Boots?
I'm gonna have to say Tank because we done went 19 rounds. That's what I'm saying. Like it wasn't no place. Yeah, exactly. But we was getting active. So yeah, it was 19 rounds. Also, that was on a Wednesday. So that Monday, we did the doghouse rules, and I don't know how long we had went that day. So now Wednesday, we're body all sore, we all beat up. But guess what? 19 rounds. So I say that was just for the endurance of it, the intensity of it. Like the last round was just like the first round. So I have to give it to Tank.
Okay. Now let's talk Tank real quick because obviously we saw what happened with him and Lamont Roach. we see the reaction of the public. It seems like everybody done turned on him all of a sudden. Now Tank ain't shit. Like as a fighter, like, do you look at stuff like that? Like, yo, one day they love you, next minute they all, like, basically trying to throw you away?
I used to, and then that's when I realized, man, it's the dumbest thing ever. Like, they, for example, Tank, he was just a king. Boy, we can go down the list forever. It's always like this. But he was just a king of the world. One fight later, he trashed. He need to quit. He need to retire. He got lucky. Did that in the third. Like, it'd be a quick switch every single time. But guess what? If you go out there and knock out Lamont Roach, guess what? I knew he was the baddest, man. He was just off that night. He was just this. He was just that. So it's just like, man, forget these folks. Just go back into the gym and keep working. Just keep doing your thing. Did you win? Did you come out unscarred? How about this? Are you happy and is your family happy? That's real deal to all that matter. Is your people happy? Because the people gonna forever talk. And what you gotta realize is these folks just be sitting on the couch eating a bag of chips trying to tell us what we need to do. What you doing? Like, what give you credentials to tell us what we got going on? I got personal problems. What if my head ain't in the right my mind ain't in the right headspace or whatever going into the fight? I could think about something else. I could be trained, that's my physically, but my mental ain't even in the fight. How you know about that? He need to do this. He need to hire a new training. He need to. Well, shut up, man. You don't know what I got going on.
I feel you. Although for me, I'd rather eat some Cheetos. I don't do that. I do the Cheetos though, man. I go front. Listen, I wouldn't say that I was myself critical of you, but I did say because the boost fight that happened, I was like, yo, Brian Norman better win. He better keep winning because you already know what the reaction gonna be if you take a L. And you don't get that fight. Like, for me, I personally think that you versus Boots is a great matchup. I know people, because I guess Boots is popular amongst a certain segment of people, they automatically think Boots is going to win. But I think it's a 50-50 fight. Like, I heard the stories of y'all going back and forth. I heard that, you know, he gave you good work and you gave him good work. What was those sessions like between you and Boots?
They were very, very great sessions. No matter what, it was great sessions. And that was my first time being introduced to them 4-minute rounds. I'll tell you that right now. Them ain't no joke. But I did what needed to be done. We got that thing up through there. But no matter what, it was great work. Learned a lot from it. And I appreciate him and Philly as a whole for helping me out with a few fights, actually. I used to go out there and spar all the time, getting ready for fights. We was about to go to Philly to get ready for my championship fight, but, you know, it's a championship fight. He a champion, so sooner or later we're going to cross paths. So it's like,
you don't want to get nothing away.
Yeah, not even that. We got to start, you know what I'm saying, branching away. We can't keep going to the enemy territory knowing we're finna fight the enemy sometime soon. So it was just, you know, we got to break away from that. But Philly as a whole, great spawn, great people. And shoot, I really do love it out there.
No doubt, no doubt. Now, I wanted to talk to you about, like, your dad real quick, Brian Norman Sr. Obviously, you guys have a very close relationship. I interviewed him back in August. The highest rated interview on my show, by the way. So shout out to your dad, because people really fuck with him, because he talk his shit.
Yeah.
But, like, he just had his own fight against Greg Hackett. Yo, just please, what the hell was your dad thinking?
He was thinking he was gonna win, and what happened? What happened?
I know he won
exactly. Real quick, I want you to know where I got my craziness from. I got this from him. I want you to realize something. This man ain't did nothing. He ain't pick up a weight. He ain't go running. He ain't did nothing for 14 years. 14 of them things. Then you got Greg Hackett, Philly boy. You got Greg Hackett over here. He at the fighter. He fighting this weekend, that weekend for $2.30. You know what I'm saying? He doing this little thing. Okay, cool. At the drop of a dime. All he needed was 2 months. That boy got in shape, and he beat y'all Philly boy Greg Hackett. You know what I'm saying? So that's what the old... Hold on, let me also say this. He older than Greg. My pop's 45. I didn't want y'all to know that. And at the drop of a dime, he did that. And also going into the fight, he had his own injuries. And this ain't a young dude like me. This is a 45-year-old. You feel me? I ain't even gonna say what injuries is. Just know they are very, very drastic. And guess what? He still did his thing.
Yeah. I listen. You're a guy. I heard he had like torn something. To be honest with you, that's what I heard going into the fight.
Since you already know, I said this man had a torn bicep in his left arm, and on the right shoulder, his rotator cuff was messed up. So on both ends, he tore up. But guess what? At the drop of a dime, after 14 years, he beat that little Philly dude just that quick.
Yeah, did you help him prepare for the fight at all? Like, did you have to get in some sparring sessions with your own father?
Nah. I ain't sparring him. But I did help him out training wise. Training him, running with him, all those kind of things. But that's where I get my whole attitude from. That's where I get my craziness from. The only difference between me and him is I'm just a little bit more quiet. That's it.
Yeah. When I saw. And I was like, oh, Brian Norman fighting Greg Hackett. I was like, I thought Brian Norman was fighting Derrick Quavers. And then they said, no, Brian Norman Sr. I was like, nah, y'all fucking with me right now. But listen, I ain't gonna lie, I did watch it. So, you know, that shit was fire. Now, what was it like seeing your dad back in the ring, though? Like, because, you know, on some level, like, I know maybe to the outside people, they're like, oh, this is funny, blah, 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 blah. But for you, that's got to be some sort of inspiration, seeing your dad at 45, like, yo, let me dust off these gloves real quick and try to give this dude some work.
Yeah, that was the biggest inspiration to this date. I'm going to be real with you. Like I just said, 14 years, injuries, all these things holding him back. And he did it. He said...
Give Brian a second. It's not like he got a phone call. That's that phone call, John. Just give him a second. thinking about that fight, I was like, yo, because, you know, Greg Hackett, he got to be like, I think he like 40 now. And, you know, like Brian Jr. said, Brian C. is like 45. I was like, yo, listen, I just hope they both come out unscathed. You know, me, I be worrying, you know, I might tear an Achilles stepping off the sidewalk, you know? I can't imagine, you know, getting in a boxing ring, you know, and trying to really get some work in, you know what I mean? So, you know, that was real crazy. But just give Brian a second. I'm sure he'll be back with us real soon. Oh, man. No, I'm just looking at some of the comments from some of the fans. Like, y'all are funny, man. Y'all are funny. But hold on. Give him a second. He'll be right back. I know he got a phone call. So you guys just go on ahead and be patient.
Can you hear me?
All right. You back with us? Yeah, I know you probably had a phone call.
No, I just got bad Wi-Fi for it. Can you hear me, though?
Oh, okay. Yeah. We hear you. We hear you loud and clear, man. Cool. Yeah, just talk about the inspiration of your father, man, getting back in the ring, 45 years old, dusting off the gloves.
Yeah, but yeah, at the drop of a dime, 14 years after doing nothing, all these injuries holding him back, he still did it. Forget what I can't do. I'm going to show you what I can do, which is beat this man, Greg Hackett. And he literally said, for this fight, of course, they had their personal reasons or whatever, but he said, that ain't even the real reason why he fighting Greg. He said he was doing it just for me. Just to show how powerful you really are. Like, boy, these your genetics right here. This your bloodline. This was in you. Matter of fact, you got more than me. So, no, it was the biggest inspiration ever.
I feel you, man. Because, listen, you guys seem to have like a real close relationship, man. So, like, obviously he trains you too. So, like, what's the dynamic between father and son and trainer and fighter?
For us, it go hand in hand. The reason being is boxing is just a metaphor for life for us. Like, let's say at one point you couldn't do three rounds, but, you know, you just kept working at it, you kept doing your thing, and now three rounds is nothing. You're doing tens on the average day. And what that speaks is, same thing with life. just keep going. Just keep putting the work in. And in due time, everything will come together. So, for example, look at my whole career. I'd have been through adversity. I'd have been through this. And I'd have been through that. And now I'm reaping all my rewards. I'm reaping all my benefits. So it's like, okay, you did all this at a young age. Just keep applying the same blueprint. Just keep doing the same thing. Just do more of it. Just be smarter about it. So the dynamic is the same thing regarding father, son, and coaching boxing.
No doubt. Now, I wanted to talk about your team. You got my guy, Adrian Clark. You got Jolene with you. Obviously, you want big fights. How confident are you that your team and Top Rank are going to be able to secure you the big fights that you're looking for this year and in the future?
Oh, I'm 100% confident, and it's happening right now as we speak. We are about to make history. That's all I'm going to say. My whole career is history making.
Not just yet.
But all I'm saying is my whole boxing career is about to be nothing but history making. Of God damn, what else can he do? He can do it all, God damn it. That's what he can do.
No, I definitely feel you on that one. Do you have time to take a couple questions from some of the listeners? Because I know a lot of fans were like dying to talk to you, man. Like, because you are, listen, first of all, you don't really interact that much on Twitter like that, man. I see you've been a little bit more active, but, you know, it's very rare that the fans actually get a chance to speak with you, man.
I don't real deal. You know, I don't like tweeting or anything like that. But regarding hopping on here, hopping on spaces, I love talking to the people. I don't like tweeting like that. That's all. But I'm always down to talk to the people.
All right, cool. So listen, if you guys, you know, got a question you want to ask the champ, WBO welterweight champion Ryan Norman Jr., send a request now. You know, I'll be happy to add you. First up, my guy from the ATL himself, my guy ATLian, you are on with Ryan Norman Jr. What's going on?
What's going on, my guy?
What's good with you?
Man, nothing much, man. First of all, you know, Georgia, we always beating up on Philly. The Falcons, you know, one of the teams to beat the Eagles this season. You know what I'm saying? And when it comes time to pull that strap from the other Philly boy, I know we're going to do it. You feel me? So what I got to ask you is two things. Number one, there's a lot of people that be on this app, man, trying to act like you scared of Jerron Boots Ennis, man. Are you scared of Jerron Ennis, bro? Are you scared to fight him?
All right, you can hear me, though?
Yeah, I hear you.
All right, my bad. So, yeah, the question was, am I scared of the little Philly dude? The answer is negative. This is how I go about it. Okay. I'm pretty sure you was already on this. But they already lowballed me off top. They're trying to chump me off like I'm a little pimp squeak, you know what I'm saying? So they gave me $750 off rip. Like, that was my initial offer.
Hey, Matt, you there?
I ain't gonna hold you, man. I think that question you asked knocked my Wi-Fi out. I'll be honest, man. As soon as you asked that question, my Wi-Fi was like, nah, we gotta go. That was crazy.
Yeah, I thought we lost you for a second there, man.
Dude, it looked like y'all lost my man Brian too, man.
He back on.
There you go. Hey, listen, your Wi-Fi is just bad as mine, man.
Hey, leave me alone. Can you hear me, though?
Yeah. We hear you.
We clear?
Yeah, we clear.
All right. So, like I was saying, no, I am not afraid of this man. I fear no one but the man in the mirror, all right? And
that's a crazy question. I apologize for that question, man. ATL be wild.
He know. I know he not scared, bro. I'm telling so everybody on here can stop all that talking, bro.
No, it's for the streets. The streets want to know. It's all cool. So, off top, they chart, man. They was offering me half of what they offered the other two champions. So you tell me, am I finna sit here and let these folks try to tell me what I'm worth and just straight lowball me like that. Like, what kind of business is this? I ain't finna let y'all try me like that. Y'all ain't finna tell me what I'm worth, but I'm finna show you I'm worth more than what you could ever imagine.
I feel you. And I just got one last question, Chubb, and then I'll let everybody else cook. When you coming to the A, man? Like, we want to represent, man, and show out for you, man. Show you some love.
I need you and all your people to do me a favor. Go on Top Rank page and blow up their DMs, blow up their comment section, and say we need this boy to have a hometown fight. I need you to just preach that. Just put your whole fan base on them. I need you.
All right, man, look, we'll do it. We'll, day one, man, I'll do it in a little bit, man, and we'll start doing it every day to Top Rank answer our requests.
I appreciate it. Let's make this thing happen.
Yes, sir, man. I love it, man.
All right. ATH, you are on with the WBO champion, Brian Norman Jr. What's going on, ATH?
My question is, speaking of Top Rank, like, in my opinion, how do you feel of Top Rank, how have they been treating you? Since you're a champion, in your opinion?
No, they've been doing their thing. I mean, I'm a whole champion. I ain't got no complaints at all. Can y'all still hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I think it's Wi-Fi. I think it's Wi-Fi went again. Hey, man. Hey, Huey, it's not me this time, Huey. It's not me this time, Huey. Just so y'all know, usually it's me. It's not me this time.
That's man. The only question I wanted to ask. You know, that's pretty much it.
Hey, Moose, you're going to be up next, Moose. Can y'all hear me? There you go. Yeah, now we hear you, man.
Let me tell y'all something. AT&T Fiber Network, I don't know about them.
Hey, listen, y'all make sure y'all hit Brian Norman Jr. Cash App. Let's get my brother some Wi-Fi. Y'all go hit that man Cash App. Go support the brother so he can get a better connection, man.
how about this? Y'all ain't got to do it. Go tell Eddie Hearn, send me some money real quick. Help a player out. Hey, in they mind, I'm struggling, man. Tell them folks I'm struggling and I need some money. Let these folks know, man. The champ, he ain't balling like a champ just yet.
No doubt. All right, Moose, you're on with the champ, Brian Norman Jr., Moose.
Appreciate it, Matt. Shout out to Brunch Boxing. Make sure y'all follow them. What up, champ? How you doing? I want to talk about your fight with that. I'm probably going to announce his name wrong. With Boca Chicha, to a no contest. I feel like, that was a pretty good fight 3 rounds in. And I don't remember. I think you might have got knocked down, and I just wanted to understand. You know, was that an off night for you, and would you ever run it back with him?
I mean, I really did want to run it back. So instead of the Santillan fight, was about to run that one back. But you tell me what's better, a little fight like that or a championship fight? So of course we had to go that route. But I still want that fight right now. If he can try to work his way up the ranks or anything, we can make that happen. But he lost to somebody I already beat, which is Quentin Randall. So 10 times out of 10, he ain't going to do anything. But regarding how I was that night, it was definitely an off night. I never believed in being weight drained until that night. So I was too cocky. This me take accountability. I was too cocky, and I was feeling myself. It was just like I knew for a fact after that fight, I was going to fight for a championship. So I was looking past him, and I was already looking at Santillan. So I started cutting weight too late. So I'm struggling to make weight. The day of the weigh-in, I'm over here running on the treadmill with a sauna suit on, you know, trying to kill myself. And actually, I missed weight for the first time in my whole career by literally 0.2 ounces. Man, I lost $2,500 for them 0.2 ounces, man. You don't know how much that hurt me. How many mid-chickens I could have bought with them 20. But we ain't going to speak on that. But, yeah, it was definitely an off night for me. And I just got caught with a good shot. The boy, he did his thing. But, hey, I'm still down to throw them things with him if possible.
Yeah, I'm only asking because, you know, he probably telling his boys at the bar saying, yo, I dropped the WBO welterweight champ. So I know you want to get that back. So hopefully you do, man. I appreciate you answering the questions. And again, shout out to Brunch Boxing. Thanks, Matt. Thank you.
I wanted to ask you about another fighter, Brian, that you had mentioned in passing, Rashida Yalis, because I just got a message because I guess my guy's listening, and Rashida Yalis wants to know, when can y'all run that fade? He been trying to get a big fight for a minute now. You are one of the big fish in boxing right now, man. Would you have any interest in fighting the Rashida Yalis?
I would if he can actually make some noise. He had his opportunity, but he done blew it against Roman Villa. So why do you deserve a fight? What you done did? Did you make a little noise? Did you shake up? Some? No, you ain't did nothing. You had your opportunity and you missed it. And that's with Roman Villa. And hey, you blew your chance. But keep hope alive, brother. Time's still moving and things can still change. Hope you got good management behind you and you can make some things shake.
hey, listen, I hope you heard that, Rashidi. Hey, let's not. But, you know, it would be a good fight. So, like, obviously, besides the champions, because we know you want the champions, like, who are some other guys that you might want to run it with, whether it be for, like, financial reasons or just a guy that you looking to get competition with?
I'm just trying to build up my resume. I'm going to be real with you. So, if y'all think they it and they this and they that, that's who I want right there. That's literally it. I won't, when I retire, they be like, damn, he beat literally everybody. It was just like, shoot, I don't know who to say. Well, I wish he would have fought. I done did that. So, literally, I just want all the big names. And Rashida Ellis is not one of them.
Not yet, man. He still got time, man.
Got time. Keep hope alive, brother. Keep hope alive.
Now, 154. How far away from you from 154?
I'm very far from 154. I ain't moving up no time soon. I made weight real comfortable at 47, and I feel like this is perfect for me. I mean, maybe, I put on some more grown man weight, I guess, and I may move up, but right now I'm too comfortable right here.
Okay. Now, another guy that just moved up to 147, Devin Haney. He's the guy that might be on your radar. Like, is that a fight that you might want to get?
Is that Devin Haney?
Yeah, Devin Haney.
I mean, he moved up to 147. And like I said before, this is my division. So, this all me right here. If you step into my territory, I got to handle that.
You know, listen, if you stay at 147 for as long as it seems like you might stay there, man, you could do some real work at 147, man.
So I'm trying to go with my B-hop, my little Carlos Mazzone status. You know what I'm saying? Just holding this belt for years. My little Klitschko. I'm trying to hold this thing for years.
No doubt. Now, Terrence Crawford, right? Because he was the WBO champion. Obviously, we know that he left 147, went to 154. Did you ever think that there was a chance you might get that fight, or you just knew, that's not going to happen?
Now the whole world already knew that wasn't going to happen. He was moving up regardless.
Okay. So, because, a lot of times people like to say, oh, well, he ducked this guy. That's why he moved up. But you never thought that way. You just knew he was moving up regardless.
Yeah. Like, let's be real. Okay, Terrence Crawford. Let's say he come back down to 147. What he got to prove? Now, what I mean by that is, at 147, it's a whole bunch of new faces. Neither one of us has established ourselves, necessarily speaking. We haven't fought Sean Porter, Danny Garcia, Keith Thurman, Errol Spence. We haven't been intertwined with any of that. We all new faces. So even if he beat us, what he get out of that? Nothing. Just publicity points, a little pat on the back. So he chasing legacy at this point. You feel me? He chasing bigger things. So we all knew for a fact he wasn't coming back down.
Yeah, I completely understand that, man. Definitely understand that. So we know you're coming back probably in the summer, maybe against the winner of this fight, maybe against Barrios. We'll see. But definitely a main event. So what can these people expect to see next time they see Brian Norman Jr.?
More of the Norman Show. More of me doing my thing, doing my little thug wizard, and just having fun.
No doubt. Yo, listen, I'm telling you right now, I can see you on the comments. Yo, you got people rolling right now, man. I'm just letting you know that right now. And you got people, I don't think people expected this out of you.
I told you, man, they let me get too comfortable. Y'all took too long. I tried to tell y'all in the past, you should have done that already got me. I'm getting too comfortable. I'm still just getting my feet wet. Don't let me jump in the deep end.
No doubt. Tell the people where they can find you at. You know, obviously we know where you can find you on Twitter, but, you know, Instagram, stuff like that, just where they can support Brian Norman Jr. at.
Yes, same thing on IG, officialb.norman. And go ahead and get that ball rolling, man. Go ahead and join the squad, man. Go on and join the squad. Y'all, you ain't got nothing else to do. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing but a little follow. Just a little double tap every now and then. Go on and support your boy real quick.
Listen, I gotta follow myself. I used to follow your pops. For some reason, he got his Twitter account suspended. I don't know what the hell he did. He got his Twitter account suspended.
I can think of a few reasons why, but we ain't gonna.
Real quick before we get out of here, I wanted to add my guy Tay Jones. You know, Bomb Squad in the building. What's going on, Tay?
That's my brother.
Man, I just wanted to come kick some of the Atlanta shit with my little brother, man.
What's up with you, Tay?
Man, ain't nothing, dog. You know what it is, dog.
Same stuff, different day.
Already, man. Hey, that's a nice-ass interview, man. Hey, them Philly boys don't like that Atlanta shit we got going on down here, man.
Hey, they're going to be all right, man. Just go take a little cold shower or something. Maybe you'll feel good in the morning.
Yeah, man. Tell them boys they need to goddamn go heat up a little bit. They got bigger fish to fry this past weekend. This coming weekend, my bad.
Oh, yeah. True. Hopefully they do that thing. I never wish bad on anybody.
We'll see. I don't think that fight gonna go the way people think it's gonna go, but you know, they're gonna have to tune in Saturday morning to hear the Brunch Boxing preview on that, though, man.
I got a question for you regarding that. Are you biased or are you realistic? Like, when you make your decision on that fight, is it an emotional decision or a real deal decision?
So first of all, I'm always biased. I never lie and tell people I don't have my favorite. But when it comes down to breaking down a fight, I always got to be unbiased because we be trying to make the people money with these betting lines. So I got to give them the raw and uncut when it comes to breaking down a fight. Yeah. The only time I might, you know, bet with my heart is when it comes to Deontay Wilder. That's about it. Yeah. Other than that, I'm just breaking it down, letting them know what I see, and letting them know how they should move. So I think the fight is going to be a lot tougher than people think. People expecting Boots to just run over Stanley Yonis, but I'm telling you right now, Stanley Yonis ain't no hoe, okay? Yeah. Like, this dude is coming to fight. He coming for war, and they both could get hit. So.
But How I feel about that is they both are champions. And that boy from Philly, he nice. The boy nice. Stanley Yonis is going to bring it. But shoot, Boots, he could bring it as well. So may the best man win. We shall see what happened that night.
Hey, listen, may the best man win and may Brian Norman Jr. fight the best man next.
Just believe that.
No doubt, man. Listen, I appreciate you for joining us, man. Listen, don't be a stranger. Listen, you could just come kick it in the space with us, just talk boxing. You ain't got to be on no interview tip, man. We need to be having these spaces, man. Just come chop it up with the folks, man. But I definitely appreciate you for joining us, taking time out today. I know you are very busy, man. You are one of the most requested interviews that we've had. So I'm glad we were able to put this together, man. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you, brother. And my dog, Tay, for setting it up.
No, I gotta give a shout out to my guy Tay Jones, man, for setting it up, man. He was like, yeah, Brian gonna come on. I was like, what? I was like, let's go. Yeah. Let's fucking go, man. But I appreciate you, man. He said that you listened to the show a little bit too. I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, I was running on Saturday. Yeah, hit me up. He said y'all was talking about me. So I just hopped on real quick while I was running. I heard a little bit. I dabbled a little bit.
Hey, listen, man. Become a regular listener, man. We talk boxing, and at least I feel like we're always fair. Like, I don't know how it feels to people that's listening to it, but I always feel like when we talk about a fighter, first of all, we ain't gonna get personal. And
you just said you be being biased.
No, when I say biased, I mean who I root for. I got people I root for. And listen, I ain't one of these people who pretend like they not root for somebody. I root for people. I root for people, all right?
Yeah.
But that ain't going to affect my breakdowns, know what I mean?
I got you.
No. Any last words for your fans out there?
True, man. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. This was one of them interviews for the book. I appreciate you. I appreciate everybody in the little comment section there viewing and listening. Man, let's go and do our little thing. Just think it out. 2025. It's the norm of year. It's a norman experience. I'll see y'all next time I hop up in that ring.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Brian Norman Jr., ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Right.
Let's fucking go.
Peace out.
Peace out. WBO welterweight champion. Brian Norman Jr., you just saw him on March 29th get the knockout against Derrick Cuevas. You heard it from him. You're going to see him back again in the summer, possibly against the winner of Saturday's fight, maybe against Mario Barrios. We don't know, but like he said, it's going to be one for the books. So make sure you guys go tune in. Make sure you go follow him, Official B Norman. Make sure you guys go support him. Support Brunch Boxing. Hey, listen, y'all hit the Cash App. We got the Cash App always up in the comments. Y'all know, support Brunch Boxing directly. If you enjoy the platform, make sure you guys support it. Like I said, we're an independent company. You know, we pop the trunk on this, you know, so we appreciate every little bit of support that we get from the Brunch Boxing listeners. So, you know, I appreciate you guys 100%. Thank you guys for tapping in. I got to give a shout out to my guy ATL for joining us, ATH for joining us, Moose for joining us. And I got to give a special shout out to my guy, Tay Jones. Shout out to Tay for setting this up. I definitely 100%. I appreciate it. Hey, listen, and just letting y'all know right now, Tay Jones might have something cooking up special for Brunch Boxing, an interview that's for the books that you guys ain't going to want to miss. This one was for the books, but now we are closing the books on today's show. So this has been another edition of Brunch Boxing. He is our COO, the Mexican Al Heyman Mike. He is our host, Ezra Boxing. I am Matt. We are Brunch Boxing, and we are out. Shout out to Gimme the producer.